On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
The Stu Gossard, a man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Goss, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome in to another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code STU for a special offer when you sign up. That's code STU, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Hello, Billy.
Hello, Stu Gotts. How are you? Exciting week, huh? Draft week.
It is draft week. It is the Jets. Billy, I'm nervous. I got to be honest with you. The Jets have two picks inside the top 10, which means they have multiple opportunities to f*** this thing up.
Well, I was going to ask you, why are you nervous? Because you know they're probably not going to solve it in this draft.
they haven't solved it in any draft. So what are you saying? I should just go into this with low expectations, and if God forbid they hit on something, just be happy about it? Is that what you're saying?
Let me answer your question with a question. When is the last time the Jets did something in the draft that you were convinced, like, this is it, we're fixed?
Oh, fixed? No, the last draft pick I really liked, I did not like Sam Darnold, even though Mina Kimes, our friend, was telling me to like Sam Darnold. I was right, she was wrong.
She was wrong about that.
Yeah, she was wrong. The jury's still out on Zach Wilson, even though our friend Chris Sims swears he's going to be a great quarterback. I'm not convinced yet.
I was just going to say, let me ask you how you feel about that, because when Chris is on, we have to be polite with Chris. And like, oh, we trust you, we take your word for it. But like, yeah,
I do, by the way,
sometimes though. Too. So
right. No, yes.
What do you feel about Zach Wilson?
So I have to, like, listen, there were times where I was impressed last year. There were times where, if given the time, he would step into his throws and make ridiculous throws, like crazy good throws. But I'm not convinced yet. The offensive line was bad. The wide receivers weren't great. I hope they address those two things here in the offseason and in the draft coming up this week. Now, Mikey A will tell you, because he's also a Jet fan, but he's not here today, he thinks Zach Wilson sucks, okay? Mm. He doesn't care what, and he's told Sims that. He doesn't care what Sims has to say.
Yeah.
But because Chris Sims studies quarterbacks in a way that no one else in our industry does, I am telling you that he does, like watches all the films, he's watched every throw Zach Wilson made at BYU, I have to trust his judgment on this. And so, Where am I on it? The jury's still out. I think he'll be good, but I only think he'll be good because Chris Sims thinks he's going to be good, and that's it. That's it.
That's fine and dandy, but I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. Right now, there's only one person whose opinion I care about when it comes to the draft.
Who's that?
Todd McShay.
It's such a great point. You're right. Not Mel, not Daniel Jeremiah, not Ian Rappaport, not even Chris Sims, not our beloved Mike Golic. It is just Todd McShay. And whoa, Billy! We're going to have Todd McShay on in just a couple of minutes.
I mean, what a coincidence, huh? It has nothing to do with the fact that he's our guest this week, that he's the only one who I think his opinion is important.
Right.
What an odd coincidence.
What if Daniel Jeremiah was our guest this week? What would you have said then?
Is Todd still a guest or no?
Todd is not available to us. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, then no one knows the draft like Daniel Jeremiah, obviously.
That's stupidity. I'm so proud of you, really. you ever seen me look this brown in your entire life?
Not when it comes
glowing.
To me, no. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the best in the business. The only guy you want to hear from this week, because we have him, and that is Todd McShay. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Todd, thank you for doing this, man. I know it's a busy time for you. Help the audience out. Help us out. When did you start covering the NFL draft?
1999 was the first year. I had just gotten out of college. I graduated in 99. I got hired by Gary Horton, who started what was called at the time the War Room. And we were actually working for 16 NFL teams as kind of a cross-check. And then we realized pretty quickly we couldn't make enough money to go around, so we had to team up with the Sporting News back then. And I started working my summer. I did an internship in 98, and then 99 was my first year. And that was the first draft book that we ever put out. It was Tom Brady's year. I had him as a third round grade, said he was the most underrated player in the draft, but also went on to say that he'd be a good game manager in the NFL. So as much as I got it right, I blew it at the same time.
Right. But you were right for a year, because that's what he was for the first couple of years, a game manager.
Yeah. I felt great about it. I was like, this is a guy, my first draft doing this. And everyone was saying, I can't believe you already was the most underrated player. But then he goes on to win as much as he did. And the last line, I just wish I quit at the first line of it was the most underrated player in the 1999 draft. And everything I wrote on from there on, it was kind of hedging my bet. So I should have ended it at the first sentence.
How does that work? Do you carry it around just to validate, like the mock draft? Do you say, hey, I told everyone Brady should have gotten the third round? How does that work?
Yeah. I mean, it's in here somewhere.
Oh, God, I got to see it. Billy, he's got a mock draft. He's got his first mock draft with Brady in the third round. Holy shit. I know.
Within arm's reach, too. He got up and he's going to get it. This is awesome.
My question, I mean, he's looking for it right now. Mikey, why couldn't he have told the Jets? I mean...
Because they wouldn't have listened.
You're right. And even if they did, they would have ruined them. I mean,
yeah, but what throw did he make in shorts on his pro day?
Wow, this is a big day. Todd McShay is looking up his first mock.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the one.
Oh, wow. What are you looking at right now? Explain to the audience. Is that the magazine?
Yeah, this is the magazine.
Okay. What was the name of it again?
Sporting News. Oh, here it is. You ready?
Right.
Here, I'll put it up. Can you see it?
Holy shit.
Wow.
I can't read. This is what
I can't
it reads,
see
right?
Him, and I'm pretending like I can.
Yeah, that was a good job by you, Billy.
Most underrated quarterback in the draft. And then I go on and on and on and on. And then I read at the very end, has excellent demeanor, with more experience, could develop into a competent caretaker.
Wow. You predicted it all.
Yep. Yeah. Don't beat yourself up too much there. I mean, at least you said third round. No one else did.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was the 2000 draft. So it was the 99 I graduated. It was the 2000 draft. Sorry, I wasted your time there, but I
wasted our time. You made our day. Get out of here.
Yes. Is there anyone you've ever been more right about that teams have gotten wrong?
Like the evaluation you're proudest of where you just nailed it, you know?
I said, probably on the flip side. Like Tebow had no chance, in my opinion. That's what I mean, I got in a lot of trouble that year because everyone loved Tebow and obviously the religious component to it. And even my mom was mad at me. But, I raised you better. I raised you better than this. And she wouldn't even talk to me very much at Thanksgiving that year. Seriously, she was like mad. Her and my sister were legitimately mad at me because I was saying that he might not be a great NFL quarterback. I'm like, this is what I do. This is my job.
Raised but, better than this.
And I even said, I'll never forget, Tim Tebow's mom came up to me on after Pro Day down in Gainesville and was like, I just want to let you know that I want to thank you and let you know that we're praying for you. You know, and I'm thanking you because you've given my, I swear, you've given my son so much motivation.
Oh my it's God. Unbelievable. Michelle, you were the chip on Tim Tebow's shoulder. You.
Yeah, I was. I'm the reason he won that playoff game that year. That was wild. That was wild.
By the way, so put us there. Like when Tebow throws that big touchdown in the playoffs to win the Broncos a game to Demaryius Thomas overtime, is mom calling you and said, I told you, son.
Yeah, she actually did. I'm not joking. My mom's a lunatic football fan. So she was like, that's exactly what happened, Stu Gatz. I swear. I didn't know where you were going with that. That's she so called great. Me after the game. It was like, I told you, you can't bet against someone who is so pure like that. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then, you know, it all played out. But even like, I'll never forget, Jimmy Clausen was another guy. I didn't see it at all. And right. Kuiper said he'd retire if Clausen wasn't a star in the league. Yeah. Yet I'm still dealing with Kuiper's ass every day.
He's never going to retire.
No. And I don't want him to. Back then, I wanted him to. Now I love having him around.
Now I'm imagining Todd's mom at home making her own mock drafts, like as this whole thing is playing out, and then calling you like, "Nah, Todd, you're totally wrong. It's not a 12. This is a 15 at best."
Yeah. Just release one of hers one year.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mom. Let's see what you got.
Well, Mikey, get her on the pod. Can we do that?
Get her on the stage. She'd love it.
Would you be okay if she came on the pod before the draft and after the draft and every draft?
That actually would be funny.
Can we do that? I need your permission to do that.
Yeah, you got my permission. She'd do it, and she'd rip me apart.
Oh, that's so great. How often does that happen where, like, you know, parents or loved ones come up to you after you evaluate their loved one, their kid, and they question your evaluation there, or they say, I told you so. You're the chip on my shoulder, you know?
A lot. It does, I keep a list in my phone.
No way.
Trying to pull it up, too. Holy of all shit. The people who have really been offended. Like, Derek Carr, I was kind of killing him. I had him early in the second round, which is where he wound up going.
Right.
But he handled it so well, you know. And I'm trying to Russell Wilson. I had him in the third round. He went in the third round, but he was just so cool about it and so mature about it. After I met him, that I was like, you know, maybe this guy's got something that I don't know about.
That's interesting.
But who? Brady Quinn's. I probably shouldn't be saying this, but whatever.
It's okay.
I think it was Brady Quinn's sister. We were at the ESPYs one year at the red carpet, and I heard someone saying my name behind me, and apparently someone overheard her saying she'd love to go up and smack me in the face for what I said about her brother.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. So you have in the note portion of your iPhone, you have a list of people who have come up to you and said shit? Like, that's crazy.
I do.
And awesome. Yeah, I'd pay you for that list.
Here we go. Brady Quinn, Jimmy Clausen, Jonathan Martin, remember the offensive tackle?
Of course, yeah.
RG3, still to this day, is after me. Geno Smith, Daquan Bowers, A.J. McCarron, Paxton Lynch.
Wow.
Geno Smith, what does he tell you? Geno, I was right about you, by the way.
Right. Like, yeah. Geno, what's his beef?
I guess I was a little low on him.
Okay, but you were right. You were right. I mean,
years later, but these are all people who like came to Bristol for pre-draft, you know, the going through the car wash.
Right.
And so they, you know, it would either be them or their agent that would attack me. Paxton Lynch's agent. What's his name? Lee Steinberg.
Okay.
He launched an assault on me. He was calling ESPN executives.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then the funniest thing was, he was calling ESPN executives saying that I had no business doing what I was doing, saying what I was saying. Paxton Lynch is going to be a star, guarantees he's going to be an early first round pick, all this stuff. And that I should be fired, like all this wild stuff. You know, Lee's, he's kind of had some ups and downs in his career.
Yeah.
But he came after me. And then the beauty was And I forwarded it to all the executives that called me and said, you know, watch out that Lee Steinberg is really attacking you and we're defending you and all that. And then I got from one of his assistants an email in like November inviting me to his Christmas party.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Which, hey, I don't know. Like your job, it's an exciting job, but like how many times you get stopped all the time in airports, right? People say, hey, who the Bears going to take, right?
All the time. Yeah. All the time. It's like I need to walk around with it. I've got like my team needs sheet. I feel like I need to walk around with it everywhere I go. Oh, I'm a huge Giants fan. We got 2 picks in the top 10, 5 and 7. Where are they going to go? Oh, my God. Well, it could be Evan Neal with the first one. Could be a pass rusher with the second one. Yeah, everywhere. It's fun, man.
I'm certain it is. When you first started out doing this with Sporting News, did you imagine the draft would turn into what it is today? Because it's crazy, man.
No.
No.
No, I had no idea. I'll never forget the first time I got – so we were with the Sporting News for 3 or 4 years, and then ESPN came in and bought us out eventually. And I'll never forget getting a phone call from a producer asking me – I wanted to get into scouting. I had an offer from the Browns before we even got to ESPN. I turned it down because we were starting to make some money and I just wanted to see it through. Sure. But I always thought I was going to wind up going and working as a director of college scouting and hopefully one day become a GM. That was my whole goal. And then this thing started taking off. And I was saying, like, the first time I knew that, well, maybe I'm going to do – like, I didn't know how to do TV. I remember getting nervous before doing, like, local radio calls. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I got a call saying from a producer saying, you know, we wanted to know if we pit you up against Kuiper and you guys kind of debate players, would that be something you'd be willing to do? I was like, yeah, well, I'm 27 years old. I don't, you know, I've barely been on like ESPN News for a couple hits. And he's like, and I was like, don't ask me. You need to ask Kuiper. He's like, yeah, we're kind of tiptoeing around it right now, but we wanted to make sure that you would be willing if we push that idea on Mel, and Mel was great about it.
So when's the last time, like how recently were you offered a job in the NFL? Has there been an offer recently?
No, not officially. Not officially. I talked to some different teams. I talked to the Jets, you know, when Joe Douglas, I went to play college with Joe Douglas, but he never officially offered me. The problem is you make a certain amount of money in TV and that's, you know, it's tough to, an NFL team isn't going to bring in a director of college scouting or something and pay the same amount of money. So I got to a point eventually where teams just knew that it was, and everyone I talked to in the league is like,
sure,
I would kill this swap. You know, it's like the wild, wild west.
They'd rather do what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, interesting.
The stability that you have and, you know, you're not in a car for 4 months traveling around from school to school and going to like central Arkansas and all that stuff.
Sure. Throw positions out the window here. By the way, if you were the Jets GM, would you have selected Zach Wilson number 2 overall?
Yeah, I would have.
Okay. And you still believe he's going to be a good quarterback?
Yeah, I do. I do. Okay. I worry about the durability, but I don't worry about him getting it. You saw some flashes late in the season, cut down on the mistakes. Talk to Joe about it at the Senior Bowl. He's like, his confidence hasn't wavered at all. You know, like we believe in this guy.
Sure.
And they just know they got to get pieces around them. And what an opportunity. You pick at 4 and 7, 35 and 38. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you nail 2 of those picks and then you get 2 good starters, like solid good starters, you're talking about 4 starters from a draft. And then they still have a bunch of other picks too.
Right.
So they had a really good free agency offseason. I mean, if you're a Jets fan, I know it's been miserable, Stu Gotts. I know you're well aware that you're a Jets fan, but at least there's hope. Like, like if you're the Texans right now or Carolina sitting there, like maybe we bring in Baker Mayfield right now to compete with Sam Darnold.
Weird.
And we don't even know if our head coach still wants to be here for a long time or if we want him to be our head coach. Like there's some the Jacksonville, like the disaster that was. At least with the Jets, of like the teams drafting in the top 10, it seems like they have the most hope moving forward.
How would you use those 2 picks, 4 and 7, if you're the Jets?
It's tough. You got to play the combo game of, all right, if we go, let's say the first 3 picks are edge rushers. Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, number 1, going to Jacksonville. Number 2, Detroit, Trayvon Walker from Georgia, or Kayvon Thibodeau. And then if the Texans go at 3 with another edge rusher, then you're sitting there at 4 and you have the top 2 offensive tackles, which I don't think is the direction they're going to go based off of some of the moves they made. You've got Sauce Gardner, the best cornerback in the class, 6'3", long arms, explosive speed. He never let up more than 13 receiving yards in a game this past year to a receiver. Never gave up a touchdown in his career at Cincinnati. So you can bring in that corner who becomes an immediate upgrade, or do you take a wide receiver? Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State would be my pick. And you know they need a receiver. They made that perfectly. I mean, you don't know, just watching as a fan. Mm-hmm. But they made it perfectly transparent with their decision to go all in on Tyreek Hill. And Hill, unfortunately for the Jets, picked the Dolphins. But and now you got to face him twice a year, which is like a double kick in the ass.
Yeah.
But you know that they need to get a big-time weapon for Zach. So if you go wide receiver there, what's going to be available at 10? The cornerback, is it Derek Stingley? Is he going to be the player in 2019? Or is he going to be the player the last two seasons who was avoiding contact and just wasn't the same guy? And or is it Jermaine Johnson, an edge rusher? I would go wide receiver and just get the guy at 4. But I could certainly see them taking Sauce Gardner. And if it's not Garrett Wilson at 4, then the other wide receiver you hope falls to you at 10 is Drake London, a 6'4", 219-pound, you know, shooting forward, basically at the wide receiver position, the best in terms of contested catches in this class.
So you're going line, wide receiver, in no particular order. That's up for the Jets.
I'm going to go wide. If personally, I think I would go Garrett Wilson.
If the edge rushers go 1, 2, 3, right?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, right. Okay. I would go wide receiver, Garrett Wilson at 4, and then take an edge rusher like Jermaine Johnson from Florida State or Derek Stingley, the corner.
Why is Thibodeau falling a little bit?
It's first of all, he is supremely talented, but he's not as like violent and dominant as you would like to see. So while I recognize the talent is there, it's not so great that you can overlook the inconsistency on tape. He just doesn't play down to down. When you compare, like, Hutchinson doesn't have quite as much speed and explosiveness, but Hutchinson plays every down like it's the last down in football he's ever going to play.
Right.
And he's so prepared. Like, I've never seen a defensive lineman making signals pre-snap based on the alignment. And just like every single down. And then the way he brings, like, he just galvanized that whole Michigan team. Like, that team was normally it's a quarterback. That was all Aiden Hutchinson.
Right.
And so you compare those two tapes. It's like, yeah, but I want that guy that I know is going to show up for 60, 65 plays a game versus Thibodeau. You know, like, just little things, like telling everyone he's going to work out at the combine and then he decides not to do the position drills. Saying at the – I think it was at the combine where he said that, you know, he kind of view or patterns his game after Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney had the same issues coming out of South Carolina. Like, does he love the game? Is he going to play every snap? And then it's, you know, talking so much about broadcasting and other things he wants to do, which is great. I don't mind that at all. But am I getting a guy who's going to be completely focused? And we're saying all this stuff, and he legitimately could be the number 2 overall pick to Detroit.
Crazy.
So it's kind of, you know, it could be a fall to maybe 7, but I think it's only a kind of big news because we talked about him coming out of high school, could be the first overall pick when the draft came up, and then even coming into this year. So I think it's more like a media shock than it is reality for NFL teams.
The last time I heard it's a bad quarterback draft was, I think, back in 2017, and Mahomes ended up going there, and I think Deshaun Watson ended up going in that draft as well. They were like 10, right. 12, somewhere in that range. That position is crazy because I hear this is a bad quarterback draft, but I also think there's a lot of guesswork being done with quarterbacks, right? Like, it took you meeting Russell Wilson to realize kind of what Russell Wilson is all about. Like, you don't get to meet these guys, spend time with these guys. You're far more informed than any of us are, obviously, but I feel like we're guessing. And the only reason I bring this up is, for all we know, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, they could be great quarterbacks. We have no idea, Todd. It could end up being a great quarterback draft, you know?
Yeah, you do never know. I mean, Malik Willis is the most intriguing because if I told you, all right, I've got a guy who's got the best arm of any quarterback in the class.
Right.
And you can throw him into the league right away. And I think he's the third most dangerous runner in the NFL at that position behind Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Wow. You say, all right, that's a hell of a jumping off point.
Yes.
So now we got to coach him up and we got to bring him along. He spent 2 years at Liberty, you know, and Hugh Freeze is kind of a quarterback-friendly offense. and Hugh said this to me when we talked at the Senior Bowl, like, Malik doesn't know what he doesn't know, but that doesn't mean he can't learn it and can't, you know, grasp it. It's just going to take some time. So more so than, and it's the case for all quarterbacks, but more so than any of them, it matters where Malik goes and what the support system is. Now, I'm talking about like developing him mentally and getting him to the point where he needs to be. Because if you have the right people around him and getting a backup quarterback that's a veteran that is willing to work with him and teach him, you know, day in and day out, he's got a chance to be a star. Kenny Pickett's got a chance to be Kirk Cousins at like at best, you know, and Kirk Cousins has had a really good career and is a big bad. Quarterback.
Yeah.
But you know, you're looking for that next level. Then after that, Desmond Ridder is really intriguing because he's a 4-year starter. He's a proven winner, you know, but he just like the inconsistency with his game is frustrating at times. Just like 70% of his tape I really like, but then there's 30% where I'm like, what? Like, what is he doing there? Or like, how did he miss that throw that I've seen him hit 10 other times, you know? So, but you talk to guys in the league and they're like, you know, we left that Desmond Ridder meeting and we were like all looking at each other like, wow, this guy loves football. He's committed. He understands what we're looking for. Like, he's got a maturity level about him. He's been through a lot in his life. He's overcome it. So there's a lot of things there with Ridder. I think Ridder will be the third quarterback off the board. And again, if he gets in the right situation, has a little time to learn and then, you know, steps into a starting job with something around him, he's got a chance to surprise and maybe be the best or the second best quarterback of this class.
All right, going to get you out of here in a second. If Pickett, if his upside is Kirk Cousins, what's Willis's upside? Like, who can he be?
Oh, geez.
Like, are you talking?
Kuiper said Michael Vick.
Really? Wow. I mean, that's.
Kuiper said Vick. I think he could be as good. Like, I don't know. I'm going to get. Like, I think he could be in the same range. I'm not saying as good as, but in the same range as Lamar Jackson.
Jesus Christ.
Because I would argue it's an MVP. He's a better, not more developed, but he's a better passer than Lamar was coming out of Louisville. He's an outstanding, Malik's an outstanding athlete. I already told you, I think he's going to be, could be the third best running threat in the league coming in. But there's only one Lamar when it comes to, you know, running and escapability and creating. So, but I think somewhere in that neighborhood, he could be. But you remember Baltimore, like, he didn't play well his first year. They struggled in big spots. They didn't play well in the playoffs early on. Like, there's been ups and downs with Lamar. And I think Malik could have a similar kind of projection in terms of what he can be in the league. But yeah, so much of it has – Lamar was experienced, played in big games against big programs, and just knew the position and came from an offense that was more pro-style. And he knew what he was getting into in the league. I don't think Malik knows what he's getting into in the league. I think it's going to be it's going to blow his mind year one. That's why you really got to – develop him the right way and be patient with it.
10 years from now, if we're talking, who are we talking about in terms of the best player in this draft? It's who?
Oof. I think Kyle Hamilton is a damn good football player, the safety from Notre Dame. I think Garrett Wilson, we're going to be talking about, is an elite wide receiver in the league. Like, I wouldn't let him get past me if I were the Jets. But I think Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley, I'm telling you, man, if you just gave me his 2019 tape at LSU when he was a true freshman corner on that national championship.
Incredible.
Team,
yeah.
And I didn't know about the Liz Frank injury and watch the tape from the last 2 years. If you just gave me that tape, I'd be like, yeah, he's gonna be the best defensive player in this entire class.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. By the way, where did Kuiper have Brady? Just out of curiosity.
I asked him on air because he went back and did the whole pat on his back thing. Mm, right. And I said, what round did you have him in, Kuiper? I want to know because, like, the ESPN was congratulating him, you know, 25 years of being the draft analyst. He had Tom Brady, so high, and all the good things he said. I was like, what round did you have? He's like, he got drafted in the 6th round, McShay. What does it matter? I was like, okay, all right.
All right, quick game. We get you out of here. It's called McShay or McNay, okay? It's all a right. Quick game. You in? Okay, here we go. Why drafting not? A running back in the first round, McShay or McNay?
McNay for the vast majority. Every once in a while, there's a guy that I would break the rule for, but McNay.
All right, drafting a guard top 10, McShay or McNay?
McNay.
McNay, okay. Mel Kuiper, McShay or McNay?
McShay.
Okay, you love Mel.
I love him.
How can you not?
Even before I met him, I was like, this guy's a pompous ass. He's got all the answers, right? Like, he just gives off that, always staring at that, like, eagle, like, hawk look going with his glasses and always, like, nah, and bouncing around. But I get to know, like his wife calls and checks in on me. Like, his, you know, like, he's a good dude. He just doesn't, it doesn't show up on TV all the time.
People who do mock drafts for next year's draft, right when this year's draft is done. McShay or McNay?
McNay. And I'm
it's him.
I know.
He has to do it.
I'm McNay. I'm telling you. So it came down to, like, I literally had to make it a career. You know how ESPN is. You guys were there for a long time.
Yeah.
Or long enough, I guess.
It was an 8-year run, Todd.
It was a hell of a run, man. Hell of a run. You got bigger and better things.
Yeah.
But I remember I had to make a decision. You're either going to grade the drafts, you know, which I think is the most ridiculous exercise in the world. Like, 32 teams just picked, and I'm going to put an A or a B or give a team a D after they just spent 15 months and, like, 7 scouts around the country and their families all invested. That's a D. You know, like, no, I'm not doing that. They're like, all right, well, then you need – because we need a big piece for online right after the draft to kind of carry the momentum over.
Right.
And so you got to do the way too early mock draft. So it was the lesser of two evils, and I'm still stuck.
I do love draft grade, Billy. Yeah, I'm so with you. Especially when McShay gives your team an A. There's nothing like it. It's the greatest feeling ever.
Draft night grade.
You'll never see me give a grade.
The best part about it is you've also got to pick where these teams are going to finish. Like, where did you have the Bengals – after last draft that they took Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're probably picking in the top 10 again.
Yeah. I make sure I, like, the stats and info guys put together a projection that I just work in reverse order. I don't pick where teams are picking. That's the other thing. No one reads that, like, initial blurb, but just the very first sentence of the way too early mock is always, just so you know, I did not choose where your team's picking. I'm just going off of these rankings in reverse. And then the first 1,000 comments I get after, I can't believe you think the Jets are going to be picking in the top 5 again.
Why would anyone be shocked by that? So weird.
Yeah,
that was never for me or you, Stu.
Ever, never. Ketchup on steak, McShay or McNay?
McNay.
That a play. Yeah, I almost
Bernay sauce.
Yeah. Yes, very good. Or nothing. I mean, that's
or nothing, yeah, if it's right. Good enough.
Exactly. Eating food off the floor, McShay or McNay?
It depends on what it is and what the floor is, but mostly McNay. Like, I'll just get another piece of something, unless it's like, I gotta have it.
I got you. Peeing in the pool, McShay or McNay?
McShay, sorry.
That a boy. What do you mean? What are you sorry about? Don't you dare apologize for that.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, outside of stepping in the shower, is there any moment in life that begs taking a good piss than when you jump in the pool? Like, it's within 30 seconds every time.
Yes, it's a big toilet. I mean, that's what it is. That was my next one, but you already answered it. Peeing in the shower, McShay. Okay.
Oh, McShay. McShay every day.
Pineapple on pizza, McShay or McNay?
McNay. Get that stuff out of here.
Picking your nose, McShay or McNay?
McNay, for the most part.
Right. But every now and then you got to pick it.
You know it's perfect, right?
And then you got to clean it out.
Plant-based meat, McShay or McNay?
Plant-based, what is that? Like,
you know, like those fake burgers.
That's McNay.
No, yeah, McNay.
What is that?
Yeah.
It's perfect. All right, get out of here. You were fantastic. We're giving you a draft grade. I give you an A+. How about that?
Love you guys. Keep up the good work. I'll talk to you soon.
We appreciate you. We know you're busy, and thank you for doing this, man.
All right, see you, fellas.
McShay showed us his original mock. Can you believe that? Like, he went back to the, like, he went into the back of his office, pulled out a magazine, and showed us that he had Brady going in the second or third round in his original mock.
I like a number of things about that. One, that I feel like is a piece of, like, American history that should be up in a museum somewhere, like, you know, with the, like, famous TV, you know, items or whatever. Like, this is a famous chair from this show or whatever. I feel like that should be in there. Also,
Hall of Fame is this? But what Hall of Fame is this? This is like, I like where you're headed here, but what kind of Hall of Fame is this?
No, this is like a thing, like American History Museum or whatever, like Washington has like a pop culture wing.
Okay.
I think it's American History. I don't know. whatever. Right.
But I'm trying to think about the chair in sports that I would put into that Hall of Fame. Like, if there was an actual chair, the chair that Bobby Knight threw across the floor.
That's the one I was going to say. I was going to say the Bobby Knight chair has to be the chair that goes in there, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, you were saying.
So I like that Todd's big brag about it is I had Brady in the third round. It's like, that's still a steal. Like, if you said, looking back at Brady in the third round, anyone would take that. Like,
so
you were half right, but yeah.
It's the biggest steal in the history of the NFL. But give McShay credit because he thought Brady was going to be a lot better than most people thought.
No, and I like that he still seems to ask Kuiper about it, and Kuiper refuses to tell him where he had Brady, which I feel like if we wanted to, we could probably look up. But it seems like Mel's ashamed.
Can you try to look it up? Right,
I'm going to see.
Mel's mock draft for Brady look up.
Mel's mock draft 1999 or whatever.
Right, but that's why we had Todd on and not Mel. I mean, Todd's the best in the business. I mean, obviously.
Duh. Obviously, yeah, duh.
Yes, I mean, a guy at Brady, second, third round. I can't believe. By the way, I feel like I should just pull out, like, hey, here's my original mock draft from, you know, 2002, and just act like I got everyone right, you know? Like, anyone could do that, but I guess Todd's were published.
So. I found from February 16th, 2000, Mel Kiper's mock draft, but it's only the first round.
Who did he have? Just let's match it up real quick. What draft is this?
This is the 2000 NFL draft, and this is a mock draft.
All right, so I'm going to get the actual draft, and you read me.
Read me. Okay. Well, now this was from February, so I don't know which version of the mock draft this was.
Okay, so February usually for Mel is right around where he does mock 4.0.
Yeah, but this was early. This was in 2000, so I don't know if at that time he was.
I know, but we are getting closer to the draft. Meaning, it was done in February, and the draft is in May. So Mel,
let's just pretend this is it. Yeah,
let's just pretend this is the final one. Okay, so who did Mel? The Browns selected first that year. Who did Mel have going to the Cleveland Browns?
He had them taking Courtney Brown out of Penn State.
That's who they took. All right, so good job out of Mel. Washington was second. Yeah. Who did Mel have them taking?
LeVar Arrington.
They took LeVar Arrington. How about that?
Wow.
Both of them were just. Number three. I mean, Arrington was okay. Courtney Brown was pretty good. Number three was
Peter
also
Warwick.
Okay, so he had them taking Chris Samuels. I'm sorry, Washington took Chris Samuels. They had the second and third pick in that draft.
Yeah, they should have
done
better.
They took LeVar Arrington and Chris Samuels. Yes, they should have done better. And then the Bengals took Peter Warwick.
Oh, so see, he had that flip-flopped. He had the Bengals taking Chris Samuels.
Okay, what a shitty draft this was.
I feel like we don't need to go through all of the picks on this. The next, he had Baltimore taking Plaxico Burress, and then he had Philadelphia taking Bubba Franks. And then after that, at 10, he had the Broncos taking Urlacher.
Urlacher went 9 to the Bears.
He had the 49ers taking Chad Pennington at 12.
He went to the Jets at 18. He was right on that one, by the way. Yeah, I mean, Pennington won an MVP and was a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Not great, but just a pretty good quarterback.
How did we end up here? Why are we doing this?
No, I don't know, because, you know, it's
me. Are you going to be happy with anyone that the Jets take?
Well, Billy, hold on. What I'm telling you is, yes, Washington that year should have done better. They had the second and third pick in the draft, but I am also now looking at the first round of the draft. I'm not certain they could have done better.
Yeah.
It was a terrible, terrible draft, man. Yeah. Holy bleep, was it not? Oh, my God. I'm looking for the two best players out of that draft. Of course, the Jets took a tight end at 27, Anthony Beck. Oh, God, what a terrible draft it was. Yeah. Yeah. Terrible draft. Anyway. But Brady was there. I mean, Brady was there. Brady. Tom Brady was there. I guess Washington could have had a good draft. They could have taken Brady and somebody else. What were you asking me, Bill? I'm sorry.
I don't know. Oh, so you're asking you're gonna be unhappy with whoever they take, probably, right?
It's not that I'm gonna. There are certain guys that I would like. Like I just want a wide receiver, and I want the best tackle in the draft, someone who could protect Zach Wilson. Billy, the reason I'm kind of indifferent on this draft is none of it matters. Mm. If Zach Wilson is good, we're gonna be good. If Zach Wilson's not good, then we have to start over for the 1,000th time in the last 20 years. And so it has less to do with this draft than it has to do with the guy they drafted last year. Make sense?
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, kind of.
That sucks. You're just like in a holding pattern, huh?
I've been in a holding pattern for 40 years, Bill. that's life as a Jet fan. We have a DraftKings promotion going on right now. Huh? We started to promote it on Friday with our God Bless Football special with Golic and Chris Sims. But we have a nice little special for the listeners here, right? That's a little DraftKings promotion. They can gamble on the draft on things I said.
That's right, Stugatz. There is a God Bless Football prediction pool presented by UFOS.
Nice.
Feel the ooh.
Which, you love UFOS. Oh, my God.
I haven't taken off my UFOS for like 2 weeks.
So I got to tell you, the key to UFOS, I played golf yesterday, and I could not get home. So I have the slot. I have three sets of UFOS, right? Mm-hmm. I have the sneakers that I think you were wearing those today, actually.
Yeah.
And I have two pairs of slides they sent me. I love the camouflage slides, okay? Mm-hmm. But when they say feel the ooh, I'm telling you, after 18 holes of golf, I was out on the course for 4.5 hours. I sprinted home, Billy, and by sprinted, I drove my golf cart home.
Yeah.
And I sprinted into the house, and by sprinted, I kind of walked very quickly into the house.
Yeah.
And I ran straight, not for water, not for Gatorade, not for the bathroom, straight to the UFOS, okay? Mm-hmm. To the slip-on camouflage UFOS that they sent me, and I got to tell you, when they say feel the ooh, you will not understand what that means until you actually put those things on after standing on your feet for 5 hours. Okay? Yeah. How about that? Yeah. They're fantastic. Anyway, yeah. It's presented by UFOS.com.
So, yeah, UFOS is presenting this God Bless Football prediction pool that you can take part in. If you want to, go to DraftKings.com/go. Hold up.
You okay? You get choked up when you talk about UFOS. I know.
I think I swallowed a fly.
The flies are everywhere. I mean, yeah, you can't get rid of them.
Fly population is way up. Anyways, go to DraftKings.com/GodBlessFootball. You can play for free at a shot at $5,000 in total prizes. The pool closes on Thursday, draft day, before the first round. And basically what you are doing is you are predicting what the answers to the questions will be. And the questions are based solely on things that happened in last week's episode of God Bless Football. So you can go back and you can check out that episode if you want to listen to it live, or you can just go to DraftKings.com/GodBlessFootball, and then it'll basically say, like, Stugatz thinks this is going to happen. Is he going to be right? Is he going to be wrong? So, I mean, we'd like it if you'd listen to the episode, but you don't have to participate and possibly win $5,000 in total prizes.
Well, 5,000, huh? That's a big prize pool.
I realize that's not the proper way to sell this. We should be encouraging people to go listen, but I'm gonna be honest.
But a lot of people listen to that episode, right? Yeah. No, a lot of people. But still, if you want to get ready for the draft, it's evergreen, so it's not like we're discussing the draft. So Golic and Sims' opinions have not changed from the time we did that till right now. And so if you'd like to go listen to that, please do. But yes, Billy, you should not be telling people not to listen.
Yeah, right? Please do, but you don't have to if you want to participate in the pool anyways. You know what I mean? But listen, here's the thing. If they're hearing this right now, Stugatz, they listened all the way through Stupidity, and they heard McShay as well. So if you're hearing this, I believe in your commitment to listen to whatever it is that we put out. Not whatever, like I shouldn't say that we're putting out shit content just for you to listen to, but I believe that you're listening to us if you're listening right now and you hear DraftKings.com/GodBlessFootball. And if you're also listening now, I'm going to give you guys a little secret that just me and Stugatz know.
Wow. Okay? You're going to give a secret, huh?
Guess what, everybody? Are you listening?
I thought this was between me and you. I mean,
I know, but I want to reward the people that are listening now.
Okay, fine.
Listeners, there will be another episode this week where we will talk to people who will be drafted in the NFL draft. And then there will probably be another episode. In fact, I know there will be another episode because it's sponsored, where we will be recapping the first round of the NFL draft on Friday. So you get two more episodes this week. How about that?
Ooh,
feel it.
Ufos. Ufos. So we have two more shows to do?
Yeah, sorry.
Jesus
Christ. Bad news for you, but good news for the listeners if they want to hear more of us. If not, bad news for them too, yeah.
If they made it this far.
If they made it this far, that's news to them.
If you made it this far, you heard Billy promote a contest in a very clunky way.
Yeah. I had like a coughing fit and I was choking on, I think, a bug. But if you're listening to this, another secret, I probably edited that portion out. So you wouldn't have known that happened, but now you'll know.
Keep it all in except for when we compare the actual 2000 draft to Mel's mock 2000 draft. Okay?
Probably the worst thing that we did on this episode.
But keep it in, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. So that is the... That is the pool. So, Billy, just so we're clear, it's not on things that Todd McShay said during this episode.
No.
It's on things that me and Mike Golic said on Friday's episode of God Bless Football. I don't want to confuse people.
No, okay. That's absolutely right. But when you go to DraftKings.com/GodBlessFootball, it's pretty clear. Like, the questions are pretty clear. Like, Stugatz thinks this will happen. Is this going to happen? So you just go to DraftKings.com/GodBlessFootball. Play for free. You can win a chance at $5,000 in prizes. Okay? Like, enough. All right? Just do it already. Or don't do it. Whatever. Leave me alone. God, these listeners, huh? I love them.
But no one's listening right now. It's just me and you, and no one's complaining. I mean, why are you yelling at them?
I feel the complaints. I'm telling you right now. I feel it.
Okay. We haven't released the episode yet. At the time we are sitting here, we have not released this episode, and yet you're feeling the pain, you're feeling their fury, right?
Do you think I'm ineligible for this promotion? Because I'm going in, and I want to really. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
I don't know. How does that work? How does that work for us? Are we allowed to
I'm probably ineligible.
I mean, what did Golic say? I think he said over three quarterbacks in the first round, right?
I think that it is. I think it's before more quarterbacks be drafted in the NFL draft, because then we get the three or four. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
You feeling okay? Everything all right?
it's draft week. You know, I'm nervous. I have a nervous energy about me.
Why? What are you nervous about? What the Dolphins are going to do? Or
I want to see how many you get right in mock draft 1.0. You know?
That's all you care about, right?
I'm nervous.
So 20 years from now, when some young kid is interviewing a dinosaur, me, I could pull out my original mock and be like, look, I got it right. Like McShay just did to us.
You need to print it out and put it on a folder and then just put it on the bookshelf behind you so that you can just bring it out whenever someone says.
I'm going to do that, but do you mind if I do it once the draft is over?
No, I was telling you, like, in the last week's episode of God Bless Football, if you listen to that, that when we do the recap episode this week, when Golic's not listening to this, so we can do this again, but what you need to do is you need to do a mock draft of round one, but mock draft 2.0, and then have, like, 80% of them right. Like, the first six have to be right, and then seven has to be wrong, and then Golic will lose his mind, yeah.
Will you back me up, though, and say,
of course, 100%. Yeah.
That's why I love you, Billy.
And then if he questions you, just say, like, well, that's what they should have done. You know what I mean?
Right. That's what they should have done. No, but he won't question me because you'll be backing me up, but he doesn't trust you either. That's the problem.
That doesn't matter. Stugatz, you know what I've learned? You can't lose an argument until you have given in on the fact that you've lost an argument, because you could just keep arguing until the end of time, and it doesn't matter. Right. There's no losing until you quit an argument, so just keep going with it, you know?
That no one does it better than you. A life lesson from Billy Gill. And a couple of secrets on the back end. If you made it this far, congratulations. Stupidity. Stugatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.